Hello and welcome to the MB Om podcast, where you will learn to master the business of yoga with guests from around the world who have experienced becoming successful yoga teachers, studio owners, and much more. Now, here's your host, Amanda Kingsmith.
Hey everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the MB Om podcast. Today on the podcast, I have a special Q&A episode for you. So these questions come from people who have emailed me, one-on-one sessions, obviously not talking about the specific situations in those, but just kind of generic questions that seem to come up quite a bit from people that I've talked to one-on-one. And then of course, those of you who have reached out and said, you know, I have a question, can you answer it? And so I'm going to go through those questions one by one today and give some answers. If at the end of it, you feel still confused or you have a different way of going about something, or if you have a question that's popped up because of that, I'm certainly open to more questions. You can always send me an email, info@mbomyoga. And just as a quick announcement, I guess this is going to be the last official episode of season two. Next week's episode is going to be a recap episode and just what you can expect from next season, and just talking about a few of the key things that I've learned this season. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed this season. I really want to get some feedback about, you know, what did you love? What did you not love? What topics do you want me to cover in season three? Do you have any guests that you recommend? A couple of the guests that I had on this season were actually listener recommendations. So I love your recommendations. Send them my way. I want you to get as much out of the podcast as possible. So if there's something that you're dying to hear about or somebody you're dying to hear from, just shoot me an email, send me a message on Facebook, send me a message on Instagram. I'll always respond. All right. So let's get started with today's Q&A episode. All right. So the first question we're going to touch on is, how do you know when you should stop teaching for free? This is a great question, and I don't think that there's one right answer for this. So I think the context of this often comes from, we hear a lot in the teaching world how when you're a new teacher, especially, you should say yes, say yes, say yes. And this is something that I'm a big proponent of. I think that you should say yes until you figure out what doesn't work for you. So saying yes to yoga in the park or a community yoga class or chair yoga or seniors yoga or yoga with kids, saying yes to these opportunities if they come up, and then teaching for kids and realizing, wow, I really hate this. I can't communicate to kids. I don't know what to say. This isn't right for me. Okay, great. Now you know that next time somebody asks you that, that's a no. So that kind of goes in the no pile. And I think it was Kate Cannell Potts on season one, she said, say yes to find your no's. And I really, really love that piece of advice. I think that it's hard to know your no's for certain without saying yes to them first. And obviously that's taken with a grain of salt. If you absolutely do not like kids and you already know that, you know, you don't babysit, you've never taught in swim lessons, you've never done summer camps, you just don't interact with kids well, that's fine. That might already be in the no pile. If you already know that you don't like something, you certainly don't need to be trying it. But the point of it is, saying yes until you figure out what you don't like is really important. And I think this correlates really nicely with free classes as well. When you're a new yoga teacher, teaching for free or for a gift card or for a really, really low nominal sum can be really great to just get yourself out there. It gets your name recognized in your community. It gets people seeing your style and talking about you. And it's also great because it gets you having practice. And when you graduate from a yoga teacher training, the thing that you need to do to get comfortable teaching is teach. And so when you should stop doing that is really up to you. I know lots of teachers who have taught for a number of years who still do free classes. Tara Koenig has been on the podcast twice, and she has taught for quite a few years. And I think she's been a teacher for about 4 years, and she still teaches mostly free classes. And she's fine with that. Her yoga is not something that supports her financially, and that's how she's chosen to set up her career. I think Andrew Mile is a really great example of somebody who runs high-priced retreats. He teaches high-level yoga. All of his classes cost money. And once a year, he does a free event. And that's his way of kind of giving back to his community. It's something he's done since he was a newer yoga teacher, and something that really means a lot to him. or, you know, running events where you maybe do by donation and donate to charity. It's really up to you how you do that. I think looking at what you want out of your career, so deciding, do I want this to support me full-time? Do I want this to support me part-time? Or do I have a job that I really love and I just want my yoga to be something where I just offer yoga and it doesn't matter to me whether or not I make money? There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Just figuring out what's going to be your truth or figuring out what's going to be right for you in your career. And I think that really getting clear on that will be very helpful for you to decide at what point it's time for you to stop teaching free classes. I think that for me personally, I don't get a ton of value out of teaching consistently for free. I think that I've taught long enough now that my teaching is worth money. And so I prefer to say yes to the teaching opportunities that come along that pay a little bit more. And that was definitely not my philosophy, you know, a couple years ago when I started teaching. It was, I teach wherever and I teach for free. And there's certain things that I'll always probably say yes to. The Lululemon store that I worked for, I will always teach there if they ask because I'm really passionate about that. My favorite yoga studio based out of Canada, if they ask me to teach for free, of course it's a yes. But I've kind of set my boundaries with what I would say yes to for free and what I won't say yes to for free and how many classes I would do. Of course, a community event or, you know, a special offering to raise money for a charity I was passionate about or something would be something I would be happy to teach for free. So looking at your career and what you want out of that and how often you want to be teaching, how much money you want to be making from that is a good starting point to decide, you know, okay, should I stop teaching for free at some point? And if so, you know, deciding when that time is going to be right for you because it's going to be different for everyone. And I think that there's going to be different community events that you feel passionate about or that you feel like giving your time to for free. So knowing that there's no right or wrong here. And I feel like that's a lot in the yoga industry. People ask these questions being like, well, what do I do? And there's not often not a definitive answer. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's just figuring out what's going to work for you. And I think that's why people have so many offerings. Lots of people just do teach for free. And I think that to create a sustainable career, you need to put boundaries around teaching for free. But that's me. That's my philosophy on teaching and that's my philosophy on my career. So something that I really love to do is to either sit down and meditate or sit down and journal. And I actually find combining the two is really great. So sitting down for a 10-minute meditation, meditating on that topic. So when is it going to feel right for me to teach for free and how much do I want to teach free classes and how much do I want to charge? How much am I worth? Meditating on that and then sitting down and journaling about it and really getting clear on what that looks like. And so if you are somebody who's kind of battling with that, I would highly suggest that you sit down and just get clear on what your career looks like, what you want out of it, what is important to you to offer for free, and what is important to you to get paid for. So hopefully that clears up that question. And we'll move on to our second one, which is, how do I know my max classes in a day or a week? And this is another question that unfortunately doesn't have a strict answer, like you should only teach this many classes a week. No, unfortunately, it's very individual, and it's going to be very individual. That's just, you know, how it's going to work. I think to figure this out for you is trial and error. So once you start teaching free or paid classes, saying yes as much as you can and figuring out what works for you. So say you get on a sub list at a studio, or maybe you get your first regular class and then you're also on a couple sub lists, saying yes as much as you can. So I always recommend saying yes. You're new. Yes, yes, yes. Being willing to give up things like dinners with your friends or sleeping in or your favorite TV show, being willing to give up those things so that you can teach in times that are maybe not ideal and saying yes to those opportunities to figure it out. So I got on a couple sub lists at some point about a year into my yoga teaching career and saying yes consistently. People knew I was a consistent sub. My schedule was very flexible at that point. And I remember saying yes to 4 classes in a day. And at the end of the day, I was just like, 4 classes in a day is too much for me. It just feels like I don't have time for any of my other projects. I don't feel motivated to do any of my own personal practice or personal exercise. And I just felt like I was giving all day. And then, so I knew for next time, okay, if somebody asked me about a 4th class, you know, the answer is no, unless it's very extreme and they don't have anyone else. And seeing, you know, does 3 work for me? So the next time I got my schedule booked, it, you know, 3, okay, let's try that. Okay, 3 feels pretty good. 3 is like, can set up my day nicely, and I've got, you know, a long break in between, or, you know, I'm teaching just back to back and it's not too much. Gives me time to eat and do my own personal practice, and I have time to work on my other projects and that sort of thing. And knowing that, okay, 3 is my max in a day. That works for me. That might change at some point, might become a higher number. You know, if my stamina increases or if I get to a point where I'm teaching a little bit more, but for now, that's the number that's is my maximum. And I know Karen Christensen teaches a ton of yoga classes in a week. She's a very high energy person. She doesn't burn out quite as quickly as I think, like I do personally, and some other people might. But her max is 5. So she'll say yes up to 5 in a day, and then she knows that that's her max. And so my max is 3, her max is 5. There's nothing better or worse about either. It's just knowing our personal energy levels and who we are and how we run. Because when you teach, you give a lot. You give your energy, you give your voice, you give your time, you're thinking a lot, you're doing a lot, and you're really holding space for those students. And it can be kind of like an energetic suck. And if you don't have a big energy reserve, you need time to kind of build that back up. Otherwise it's just like draining. And the best way to figure that out is to just try it and see. And you might end up with a day where you're just not feeling great at the end of it, or you feel very tired. And that's pretty normal. That you'll know at that point, okay, I've hit my max, or I've gone too far, I've overdone it. And then you know next time to say no. Kind of the same thing with a week, you know, saying yes as much as you can and seeing how many classes you get in a week. Some people will teach 25 or 30 classes and they are still not running on empty. For me, I ideally prefer more like 5 to 7 classes. I guess maybe 5 to 10 classes in a week is kind of my more ideal number. 15, 20 is too many. That's too much for me, especially with everything else I have going on. So looking at what else you have in your life, maybe you want to transition to full-time yoga and that's all you want to be doing. And so you do take on more classes because you have more time, and that's cool too. Or maybe you just want to be super part-time and you just want to teach a couple days a week, maybe 1 to 3 times a week or 3 to 5 times a week. And just playing around with that, looking at what do I have currently going on for projects, part-time jobs, side hustles, things I want to do? What is my financial situation looking like? How much money do I need to make? How many classes in a week would that mean full-time yoga? How many classes a week part-time yoga plus a side job? You know, what do I want to be doing long-term? And just thinking about what is your ideal life? And so a great exercise to do this, again, I really love meditation, and I think that sitting down and meditating on your ideal life can be great, and then writing it out. Or if meditating is not your thing, just sitting down and writing. What is your ideal life? Like in 10 years, what does your ideal schedule look like? In 5 years, what does your ideal schedule look like? In 1 year, if you could have everything you wanted out of your career, what would your schedule look like? And then looking at, you know, what you need to do to get there. And your ideal schedule as a yoga teacher is probably not going to happen overnight, especially if you're new, but having that line of vision or that sight line or knowing where you're going with it can be really, really helpful so that you have something to work towards. I'm a massive proponent on being entrepreneurs as yoga teachers and not just thinking of ourselves as employees who work for other yoga studio owners or for yoga studios. I like to think about the fact that we are our own entity and our own brand, and we are bringing our offerings to these yoga studios. So with that comes the idea of lifestyle creation. So what do you want your lifestyle to look like? Thinking about that and picturing it in the future and being okay with it changing, because maybe you picture in a year, I'm going to be a full-time yoga teacher and I'm going to teach 25 regular classes a week at Studio XYZ. And then you start teaching and you're building that up and you realize that your energy levels actually don't match that. And that kind of burns you out. Knowing that you can change it as you go based on what you learn through your experience. So knowing that there's no right, there's no wrong. You're not a bad yoga teacher if you want to teach part-time or on the side, or you only want to teach, you know, 5 to 10 classes a week. That's okay. You're not a bad person. You're not a bad yoga teacher. You're just figuring out what you want in your career, which is really important. If you're somebody who's striving towards 25, 30 classes a week and your energy levels can contain that, that's great. Go for it. Do your thing. That's amazing. And if you have any questions about that, definitely reach out to me. I'm always happy to talk that through. I offer one-on-one sessions and your first call is always free. So if you want to talk that through, definitely just reach out to me. All that info is up on the website at mbomyoga.com. Okay. And so connected with that, we're going to go into our third question, which is something that I get a lot, and it's how do I prevent burnout? And burnout is something that happens to a lot of people in a lot of different careers and industries, but I think that it's really, really common in the yoga industry because you don't make a ton of money per class. So say you leave a full-time job that pays you $4,000 a month and you want to teach yoga full-time. So say you're getting paid $50 a class, which is actually probably kind of steep, but say you're doing that, that would be 80 classes a month divided by 4 weeks in a month is 20 classes a week. That's a lot. For me personally, that's burnout territory for sure. And that is not sustainable long term. How do I know that? Because I've tested it. I've done trial and error. I've said yes, you know, a bunch of different times, and I've hit my maximum and been like, whoa, no, I don't even like doing this anymore. So when you're thinking about teaching full-time and making a salary that's comparable to a full-time corporate job, you're probably going to end up teaching a lot. Of course, there's ways to, you know, get your following, move your following through your sales funnel, increase your offerings through workshops and retreats and teacher trainings and online courses and online classes and all these different things. There's this whole other market for making your career more sustainable. But in terms of actually teaching classes in a studio, if you want that to be your income, you're going to have to teach a lot to make good money. And so you can get into burnout territory pretty quick that way. And so the question is really around how to prevent burnout. And so the reason I'm talking about money is because I think that burnout is directly correlated with this need for money. We look at, okay, we need to make this much money. I need to pay rent. I need to eat. I want to have a social life that's equal to what I did when I worked full time. And so I need to keep teaching in order to maintain this lifestyle. And for some people that, you know, that may work. So the first step is to figure out, you know, how much money do I need to live my lifestyle? How many classes a week is that going to be? And then going out and testing that. So you go out and you say yes, you set up your schedule, you're going to have to work to get more classes and more studios. And it's going to be, you know, a little bit before you just have 20 classes in a week. And once you're there seeing, you know, can I do this? Is this sustainable? Do I still love teaching yoga? For me, that answer is no at that point. It's too much for me. It's more than double what I ideally like to teach. And for me, that means, you know, pulling back from teaching and looking at what else can be on the side to help me make enough money to survive. And so with burnout, you're going to burn out at a different level than I'm going to burn out. My friend Katie Roll is going to burn out at a different point than I'm going to burn out. Karen Christensen is going to burn out way after I've burned out because her energy is just so much higher than mine is. And that's okay. To figure out where you're going to reach that like burnout point, you need to go out and figure that out. Unless you've done a job where maybe you've been a personal trainer, where you've taught clients and had classes before, you probably don't know where that point is. So you need to go out and just test it. It's sort of the same thing as figuring out your max classes in a day or a week. It's just testing. It's saying yes to these opportunities until you're like, whoa, no, no, the answer is no, I can't do this anymore. It's not sustainable. It's not working for me. And when you hit that burnout point, you'll know. It's that point where you're just so exhausted. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to self-practice. You don't really even feel like you like yoga anymore. And most of us kind of hit that point and then we rebound from it because then we know how to restructure things and how to come back from it. So you can not necessarily fully burn out before you figure out your max. You'll probably feel it at some point. You say yes to more and more classes. And as the week goes on, you're like, okay, you know, I've taken on 12 classes this week and it feels like a lot. You don't need to test the limits up to 20 if 12 isn't really working for you. The next week you can be like, okay, well, you know, 12 didn't feel so good. Why don't we try 11 or 10? And figure out from there and find your sweet spot with numbers so that you know when you can say yes and no in the future to those things. And another thing that I want to comment on around burnout is something that I really love to prevent burnout is self-care. Self-care is so important. So I really recommend having one piece of self-care every single day, but definitely making sure that you have self-care scheduled into your week. Things that I like to do for self-care are going on a walk, maybe listening to an audiobook or a podcast, taking a long bath if I have that accessible, planning in coffee dates with myself and a good book, or planning in a coffee date with a friend I haven't seen for a while, planning in, you know, dates with my partner, things like maybe going for a massage or getting a pedicure. That would be obviously not something I would do every day because unfortunately I don't have those types of funds, but maybe once a month my self-care is a massage. And of course, giving yourself time off. This is really, really important when you set up your schedule. Have at least one day where you without fail do not say yes to classes. My business coach is flexible with his schedule 6 out of 7 days of the week, but he will not book calls on Sundays. It's his day. And I think that's amazing. I think that you should always give yourself time for rest. So of course, figuring out where your max is, because you can still burn out even if you have a scheduled day off or you have scheduled time in, if you're overdoing it. But then having that self-care time really gives yourself that time to rest, rejuvenate, take care of yourself. So every single day, make time for yourself. Make time to do something that you love doing, even if it's a walk with your dog or a walk with your best friend or a walk with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And give yourself that time because you deserve it. And so moving on to question 4. The question is, when can you consider yourself a quote unquote real yoga teacher? And I think this is a really interesting question because when you kind of just look at it on surface level, it's like, wow, when can you consider yourself a real yoga teacher? Well, what does a real yoga teacher entail? And, you know, how do we define that? And why would somebody not think they can call themselves a real yoga teacher? But then if you think back to when you first did your yoga teacher training, it's this kind of weird gray area where you graduate yoga teacher training and you are a yoga teacher. You've got a certificate that says I can teach. You've done all the work to get there, but you haven't actually been teaching yet. And I definitely went through this phase where I didn't really identify as a yoga teacher because I hadn't taught yoga. And even after my first couple of classes, I still kind of felt like a fraud being like, oh, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a yoga teacher. Am I a yoga teacher? And I think that this is kind of an interesting thing that a lot of us go through when we first start teaching yoga, and maybe in phases throughout our careers as we take maybe teaching sabbaticals or we take breaks from teaching yoga. It's like, if I'm not currently teaching, am I a yoga teacher? And I think that it's really important to know that quote unquote real yoga teacher, I don't even know what that is. I think a real yoga teacher is whatever you want to define it as. If you consider yourself a teacher of yoga, an educator of yoga, somebody who's spreading the message and the practice of yoga, you are a quote unquote real yoga teacher. So don't ever doubt yourself in that regard. You don't have to have 2 million followers on Instagram and be teaching 30 classes a week to be a quote unquote real yoga teacher. If you are teaching in your backyard to your neighbors for free once a week, you are a yoga teacher. If you've done a teacher training and you are planning to teach, put it in to the universe as I am a yoga teacher. Feel confident identifying as that if that's what you want to be. And that is certainly much easier said than done. I'm fully aware of that. I definitely went through this phase when I was brand new to the yoga world. Because you look at people who have been teaching for 10, 15, 20 years, you think, you know, that is a real yoga teacher. That person embodies yoga consistently and they've done so for 20 years. Who am I to call myself a yoga teacher? Well, do you embody the practice of yoga? Do you embody the principles of yoga? Is yoga something you're passionate about? Is Kijin yoga something you're passionate about? Do you have a teaching certificate? Do you teach? Have you taught? Do you plan to teach? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, I think that you're a real yoga teacher. I think if you're somebody who has not done a teacher training, but you want to, using words like, I'm an aspiring yoga teacher, I'm aspiring towards doing this, I think that that's an amazing way to put that. It's, you know, I'm not a yoga teacher yet, but I'm going to do this. I have this plan. I want to, it's a goal. I'm an inspiring traveling yoga teacher. I'm an inspiring international yoga teacher. I'm an inspiring retreat leader. It's fine to talk about things like that. And I think we get really attached to labels and putting people in categories and that sort of thing. And we don't need to do that. You don't need to worry about that. If you identify personally as being a yoga teacher, call yourself a yoga teacher and be confident with it. Okay, so the last question that I'm going to cover in this episode is, how will I know when I'm ready to teach? This is a really, really good question. You may never feel ready. That's like the short and quick answer to that. You may never feel like you have everything you need to stand in front of a room and lead people through a guided practice. But if you want to teach, you need to just go and teach. There's always going to be fear doing something that we've never done before. If you don't know what it's going to be like or how it's going to feel, or if you have everything you need to make sure that it goes well, you're just never going to do it. And knowing that we all start in the same place, I don't know if there's anyone who steps in front of a group of people for the first time teaching yoga and says, I am 100% ready and confident, and I am certain with every essence of my being that, you know, I'm going to do this perfectly. I think that that's, you know, maybe there's somebody out there, but I think that that's really rare. And trusting and believing in yourself is really important. So I'm certainly not saying don't believe in yourself, because I think you should believe in yourself. I think that you should trust that you have everything inside of you that you need to teach a yoga class, and then know that you're going to feel uncomfortable, that you're going to feel scared, that you're going to feel nervous, that you're probably going to blunder a word or two or mix up a left or a right, and know that that's okay. Your students will forgive you, and that the more you practice, the easier it becomes. So that first class feels really uncomfortable and sticky and awkward, and the balance of, you know, moving around and adjusting and touching people and standing in front of the class and demoing and finding your own breath is going to be really uncomfortable. But the more you do it, the more you find your flow. And I really, really liked talking to Jess Don't about this, because she said, you know, teaching is awkward when you first do it. She's like, I'm not trying to scare people away because it's so amazing, but your first couple of classes really don't feel smooth. And if you practice a lot, you feel like it's just usually with a good class, it just feels like it flows really nicely and it's really natural for the teacher. And, you know, they're doing it flawlessly and effortlessly. And then you stand up there and you feel all crickety and awkward, like you're a baby deer walking on legs for the first time and you're fumbling and falling. And that's normal. all new yoga teachers go through that. You may never feel ready or confident to stand in front of that group of people, but if you want to teach, you need to overcome that fear and you need to just get in front of those people and do it again and again and practice and practice. And I think that if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm really struggling with this, you know, I've had my teacher training certificate for a while and I just don't feel ready yet to teach. Get your friends together, get a couple of friends together, you know, offer them a free class. Say, I just want to practice teaching, or set up a camera and teach to a camera, watch it back, see what you did, see what you think you could improve on. Ask your parents, will you sit through a yoga class? Ask your hairdresser, ask anyone that you know to be a guinea pig for you, and you're offering them a service. So why would they say no to that? Say, you know, come to my house for free, or I'll come to your house for free. I'll teach you some yoga, and just start practicing on people you know, where there's not that much risk as, you know, going in front of a studio owner and saying, you know, I really want to teach for you, and fumbling on your teaching demo because you've never taught before, or teaching at a studio and having the owner say, no, you're not the right quality for us, and then ending up losing a job or something like that. Get your practice in if you're really nervous elsewhere. Find places in your community where you can offer classes for free. And so this kind of comes full circle to our first question about when do you know when to stop teaching for free? And I think that there's something kind of intuitive about this. You know, you go in and you don't feel quite ready for certain opportunities. And so you offer your services for free for a while, you teach classes for free, you get that practice, and you'll hit a point where all of a sudden you feel like, okay, yep, I've got my groove. Of course, it's still a little bit intimidating to stand at the front of the room and have everyone staring at you and everyone looking at you and just like waiting for you to talk. Of course, that's intimidating. That doesn't really go away. But you become more confident in your ability to go up there and just do your thing. It becomes more normal. It becomes a part of your day, a part of your week, something that you just know you can overcome. You have that trust and that faith in yourself. So if you're feeling like you don't have that faith or that trust in yourself or that belief in yourself that you can do a great job, offer your services for free. And then as you become more confident, know that you're worth money. And that's when you can slowly, you know, ask for donations or charge more or let go of the opportunities that were free that no longer serve you. And so kind of comes full circle with all of our questions. I hope that answers that question. Know that you may never really feel ready. I completely panicked before my first class. I was having nightmares about my cell phone breaking and my alarm not going off and not having any music. And I think I was teaching in my sleep. I kept practicing Sun Salutation A, cueing it over and over again in my sleep. I think maybe I got like 1 hour of good quality sleep. And I got there and, you know, it was fine. It was scary. There was parts that felt awkward and uncomfortable. I realized how hard it is to breathe and talk constantly when yoga is so much about keeping your breath. And you just make these little mental notes about, okay, how can I do this different next time? What do I need to practice? What do I need to work on? Oh, I'm teaching this new pose. Let me teach it out loud and feel it in my body before I teach it in front of a group of people. You'll figure that stuff out. But my biggest recommendation is just go for it. Say yes to that opportunity. Start getting your experience. Start practicing. Practice as much as you can, and it'll definitely get easier. So that is the last question for this Q&A episode. I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode and that you've learned something from this. Again, if this has sparked anything for you, definitely reach out to me, info@mbomyoga.com. There'll be one more episode for this season. It's not going to be fresh content. It's just going to be a recap of season 2, what to expect from season 3, what can you can expect during the break for the summer and that sort of thing. So if anything's coming up for you with questions, comments, feedback, things you want to see, this is your opportunity. Send me an email, send me a message, let me know. And if you want to stay in touch over the summer, you can join the newsletter at www.mbomyoga.com and join me on social media, on Facebook and Instagram at Mastering the Business of Yoga. As always, thanks so much for listening and namaste.